Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavirishavahai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So now starting with we'll start with the historical background, 53, and then we'll go forward from there. So this is a quote from Franz Overbeck, right? Because what we're making out here is that there's a distinction between technically Christianity, or I mean the teachings of Christ, which is a reformed aspect of Judaism, right? It's not reformed Judaism, it's just a matter of trying to introduce a little bit more bhakti and a little less emphasis on the rules. And then what Paul gave, which basically shifted the focus from the teachings of Christ to Christ himself. Right? Instead of making Christ into a teacher, he made Christ into a deity. And then the teachings are Paul's. You understand? His interpretation of what Christ said. This makes sense? Yeah. Okay. So means it's come to the point they don't know, so they all think they're following Peter, they're following the original, but what is being pointed out here is the basis of what's there is actually come from Paul. See, Paul was a very educated person, an academic. Yeah, just listen to this. He's an academic. He is worried about his position in society, though he was Jewish. Is that they actually Saul. Right, but being Romanized, he becomes Paul, like that, and so he is a Roman. He is a Roman citizen. See, generally speaking, Jews aren't Roman citizens. So somehow or another, his family is wealthy enough, influential enough. He's actually a citizen. He's academic. He's moving in those circles. He doesn't want to lose that position, and he wants to make Christianity, which he's impressed by, available to them. Because from what I understand, originally, he used to fight, you know, really head on with the Christians that he was against it. But then at some point he was converted. And then but in doing it, he wanted to do something that would be pleasing to the Romans. Sounds familiar? Yeah, okay. So, in other words, use an academic approach to try to establish your religion in line with the culture of the modern society. So at that time, modern society was Romans. Right? So here's a quote from Franz Overbeck. All the good in Christianity can be traced to Jesus. All the bad to Paul. Beginning with the Apostle Paul. Who is this guy?
He's a German Unitarian.
He's a German Unitarian. Yeah. Okay, so he's a Christian. Yeah.
But basically, he's opposed to the Trinity concept.
He's opposed to the Trinity. Yeah. I mean, Unitarians don't go into. Oh, that's why the Unitarian. Oh, okay. It all comes down. We'll find out. It's all about this. Beginning with the Apostle Paul, who had never met Jesus. So he's a later. He's been established by the church later as an apostle. When we say the 12 apostles, he's not one of them. I was actually shocked myself to find this out about a month ago. Like that. I always thought he's one of them. And he's right there with everybody. You know, he came along later. Yeah. Because there were 12. One hung themselves. So that leaves a spot for 11. They replaced it with someone else. It wasn't Paul. He came along later. So then apostle in this case means someone who is going out and preaching. So he's known as the apostles for the Gentiles, for the non-Jews. And the other 11, 12 were considered apostles for the Jews. Okay. Christianity broke away from its Jewish roots and began preaching in the Gentile world. Gentile means non-Jew. You know, it's easy. Right? That's the nice. That's the English word, right?
Goy.
Yeah, goy is the Hebrew word, like that. Whatever. Religious scholar Holger Kirsten makes these observations about the Apostle Paul, who transformed Christianity from a messianic Jewish movement into the Gentile religion. Quote. Because means messianic Jewish means, in other words, it's Jewish that Jesus is the Messiah, right? Into actually a different religion. The early quote: the earliest documents concerning Jesus are the writings of Paul. He came from a strict Jewish family, but was able to acquire Roman citizenship, for which his father paid a high price. This permitted him to change his original Jewish name, Saul, to Paulus. He belonged to the upper class and was raised in the strict Pharisaic tradition. He received an extensive and profound education, mastered the Greek language, and was widely read in Greek poetry and philosophy. Pharisaic meaning the Pharisees. The church historian Wilhelm Nestle expressed the issue in the following matter. What we refer to as Christianity today is largely an artificial doctrine of rules and precepts created by Paul and more worthy of the designation Paulinism. It replaced Christ's gospel with a gospel about Christ. Does that make sense? So now you're talking about. So it appears to be very similar, but basically what you've changed from is Vani to Vapu. Right? If we always talk about how Prabhupada's great and he's the most wonderful and he's the most kind and the most this, and then you show things of his kindness, you throw things that, but you don't really talk about his philosophy, that would be the Vapu. Yes.
Is that widely known among Christians? Do they accept such kind of things?
Well, I think the normal Christian just kind of knows that, you know, if you have something to do with Jesus and say your prayers to Jesus, you know, then. You know, you'll be saved. You know? That's basically about it. That's probably, you know, general Christianity in a nutshell. Now, priests means your general people won't even have any idea. Your priests might, you know, get out the pitchforks and, you know, find some hay and look for a steak. And your theologians would discuss it. You always have to make a distinction between theologians, who are philosophers, and priests. Priests may be philosophical, but it's not necessary. Their specific, you could say, thing that they add is their ability to inspire people in Christianity. That's the priest. But he's not necessarily a philosopher. Right? So you could have a good priest who doesn't actually know much philosophy, he just has good faith. In other words, he has faith. He can inspire others with that faith, right? So he's giving what he has, right? Well, the theologian can discuss philosophy, and in doing that, they'll identify themselves as Christians, but even sometimes it even weighs on their faith like that. Sometimes they become a little bit adjusted by it. Like different times, I think, I'm not sure, the Jesuits have been well received and sometimes not, because they work so much on the academic edge in the modern academic world that sometimes they become a little bit themselves too secular and stuff like that. So you have these kind of elements. But the theologians, you know, will have more philosophy. You know, your monks will be kind of in between. You know, there's sadhakas who know some philosophy but are more into the faith. They're kind of, so you have to make a distinction here. Like that. Okay, but this is a historian, so Christian church historian, because they know so many things. It's just a matter of what they will, you know, discuss as a prominent element. Because for them, the common person doesn't need to understand this. It's just they follow the church. So if the church is accepted it, then that's good enough for the common person. Now, if the church itself wants to discuss it, that's another. Is that what you're saying? Yes. But probably if you brought this up to Christians, they wouldn't know what you're talking about. Yeah. You know, good, clean fun. Okay. Paulinism in this sense, so this is end the quote. Paulinism in this sense means a misinterpretation and indeed counterfeiting of Christ's actual teachings as arranged and initiated by Paul. It has long been a truist for modern theologians as well as researchers on ecclesiastical history that Christianity of the organized church with its central tenet of salvation through the death and suffering of Jesus, has been based on a misinterpretation. Right? So this is something that's been added by Paul. Just like this. Let us say, just as a thing. Now here, no, it's not here. Means somebody who hasn't been at the death of someone else. It means someone who's been at the death of someone. It's not something you sit and talk about. Someone who hasn't been might talk about it. You understand? So the apostles aren't going to talk about it. Paul wasn't there. He'll talk about it. Does that make sense? Otherwise, why that one thing? Why his death? Why not his life? Why would you make his death as the ultimate, the main thing? You know what I'm saying? Yes.
Maybe because he suffered so much just before the prior death?
You could, but then you would take the suffering, then you would take the... Then it would be more... You would show that it's not he died for our sins, but see how much he's willing, his commitment to God, willing to lose his faith. You know, anything like this, that he's unshaken in the face of adversity, right? That then you could take from that. Yes, but why is it simply he dies and now you're free? That's pretty simple.
Yeah.
You know, that's simply by having faith. So the point is that why take that one? Why not have faith in his teachings and apply the teachings? So there's something not solid here, right? In other words, other than having faith, there is no endeavor on the part of the individual practitioner. Right? Like we say, you have to have faith in Krishna, but that faith is expressed through service. So that element of that service, and that service should be done with proper understanding. Right? If you do activity without knowledge, then it's sentimental. If it's knowledge without activity, then it's mental speculation. So the two have to be together. So here we're basically saying it's the faith, but without the activity. And say, you know, people more they get active, they want to be. But the general point is, you can be a good Christian and not actually do anything other than, okay, nice of you to attend church on Sunday and be nice and be a little philanthropic, like that. Say your prayers, you know, say your grace when there are prayers before you go to bed. You know, at least if you're Catholic. I don't know about the others, but you know what I'm saying. That's kind of it, and you're a good Christian.
It's pure sentiment.
Yeah, it's just sentiment. It's not even pure, but I'm just saying it's sentiment.
Yeah, there's prayers before football.
Prayers before football, yeah. Or prayers before your concert. That's Bieber's. Yeah. You know, yeah, before they jump out of the plane. You know, all these different things. Yeah. I think even Bush, he'd have a thing of silence before he was born again.
Yeah.
Bush Jr., not Senior. He was a little more tough. But Bush Jr., he was born again. So all those, you have these meetings, you know, all these high end meetings, and then before they started and end, they'd stop. Moan of silence, you know, prayer, like that.
There's going to be prayers before the goal.
Before the goal? You mean when the guy's standing
the goal,
there?
No, the goal is coming and everybody's
there. Okay. Yeah, but then you'd miss seeing it.
Yeah, so it's
that's why you have the television, so you can look back at it.
That's why George Bush even said that God came to him and told him to invade Iraq.
God said, invade Iraq. And it was good. Something didn't work out as good. I think God didn't tell him about Afghanistan. Yes.
All right, so I was thinking also followers of modern Christianity, they look like they're happy with their own, you know, religion, so... If it's so shallow, then, you know, the nature of those people not very...
Generally, maybe. If there's any depth, it'll come from somewhere else. But the point is, see, if you don't know that there's something beyond... See, basically, it's like this. It means you're living here, and it's difficult. But if you have the, you know, you stick it out, you maintain your faith, and you're good, then you go to heaven, you'll be happy forever. So just a matter of just sticking it out here. So that's you know, we basically summed up the whole thing in a nutshell. So if they just have that faith, then that's all. You know, so it can be shallow because that's all they're offering. But the idea of the soul, God, the relationship, that eternal relationship based on pure love. Because they're not talking about a relationship with God. They're not even talking about a relationship with Jesus. Just faith in Jesus. Even you go to heaven, what are you going to do with Jesus? You know, you're going to play tennis? What are you going to do? There's no discussion. What you do with Jesus, what you do with God, the only thing is you'll be there with your family and your dog. You know? Like that. Good Christian dog. Right? You know. Like that. How come the dog goes? You know, it's like, you know, what did he do? Did he have faith? He got baptized. The dog got baptized. I don't know. But no, but they always talk about, you know, your pets go along with you.
That's for the kids.
Oh, just for the kids. In reality, you got to get a new pet over there. Okay? Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Just for the kids. Okay. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, in other words, and in general, you'll probably find that life is a bit more shallow like that also. Does that make sense? So, they fill their life generally with, you know, money and position. Mm-hmm. You know, and that gives them some drive, something. But otherwise, yes.
There's a little escape away with Francis and Mother Clarice and... Now, this one has got more the relationship.
Yes, but you have to be careful because some of them are on the edge. There was one of them where it's saying there's some of them who have been wiped out.
Yeah.
So it can't get too personal. Okay. Paul prepared for the path for the later ecclesiastical teachings on original sin and the Trinity, right? So these things are pretty much his thing, because Jesus is not talking about a Trinity here, right? And original sin's not a big deal, right? Amongst the Jews, it's not a big deal, right? It's just okay, that's how you got here, okay, like that. But and so, you know, behave yourself, and then you'll get there. But to make this whole thing about sin, and we're all suffering with that sin, and yes.
Yes, but where did he cut this?
I'm not sure. It'll come up.
Yeah, I think it comes up. There's one philosopher in ancient Greece called Plotinus who had like a concept of three.
Plotinus. So instead of mud wheel like this, he was like this.
And so, yeah, they talked about basically the position of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or God.
That was the Greek.
Yeah.
Because he was said it was, well, he was very, you mastered Greek, profound education in Greek.
Yeah. The Greek, I think Plotinus was about like reason, you know, order, and the word, or something like that. But it's all descended from that concept.
Okay, so it's kind of gone. Okay, the words, the Holy Ghost.
But Trinity also comes from the inability to deal with the divinity of Christ.
Okay, so they're trying to work out the divinity.
Yeah,
because basically, as we see as they go through, most of the ecclesiastical councils is trying to establish what is the nature of Christ's divinity.
Yeah.
How divine, what's not divine, everything's divine, nothing's divine, you know, well, something's got to be divine. But, you know what I'm saying? That's what goes on.
Yes. So there is maybe before Paul, there is like Jews background and they are Christians, so they would be basically original Christians, and this is first.
Yeah, it means they're original. Means Christianity is simple. It means the concept that there'll be a Messiah is a Jewish thing, right? So in other words, all it is that Christians are those Jews who accept Jesus as the Messiah. That's why it said messianistic Judaism. It means he is the Messiah. Right? And the Jews that didn't accept him as Messiah is still same practices. So all of them are Jews by religion and culture. It's just whether he's the Messiah or not. That's the only difference. Right? Because if he's the Messiah, then he has some leadership, you know, thing to bring out in the way of an understanding of the Judaic teachings. Right, so that's all. He'll give some new light on that, but otherwise, then it's not. It's not a different religion. Paul made it into a different religion. You know that had no roots. See, it's one thing is that Jews are there and they're doing, and then those who are not Jews, then they can practice Christianity. Because originally, if you wanted to take it up, you became Jewish. you converted to Judaism and then practiced, you know, how you say, Christian Judaism. Right? But he was ideal, make it available for everybody. Right? And that, but in doing that, they didn't become Jewish. They didn't have to become Jewish.
What about how you call these Jews who later on, centuries later, came Christians? Like, they weren't, like, they didn't think that Jesus...
No, but they're not, it's all about practicing of Judaism with the teachings, or just giving up the Judaic practices and just practicing whatever is the particular form of Christianity that's there.
Yeah, we get into this.
Yes.
Maheswar, was a Jew, was he actually Messiah or not? Jesus?
Means he did give some relevant teachings, so you could say he is. But the problem is you can't catch a guy and kill him and then say he didn't rebuild the temple.
Yeah, this is the puzzle. It doesn't match.
Yeah, but the point is the guy building the temple, you don't come over and kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then say he didn't build the temple. You know, that's more political, yeah. You know. Like that. At the same time, is you also have to know what's the temple. Yeah, or something like that. But or you could say is, you know, whoever built the temple where the temple is, and so that would mean Muhammad. So then is he the Messiah for the, now that becomes a little too weird, right? Okay, so they'd probably accept this one as the temple before they'd accept that one, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
One of the issues that comes up is whether or not Jesus came to reestablish the rule of the Old Testament, all the strictures there, or if he came to free people from those. So that Messiah kind of carries that connotation that he's delivered us from having to follow all the previous.
But that's how the Christians would interpret it, because the Jews would interpret it that you're breathing new life into Judaism, and now everybody's following very nicely, and you won't have so many branches, and everyone will be very nicely following. So the idea, why would you free, what is the meaning? Religion is for regulating the life in connection with God. So why would you free somebody from that? What does that mean? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, okay, you have the drink, it's sitting there in the side in the box, right? Then you put it into the refrigerator, right? Then it gets cold. So that's a rule. If you want it cold, you put it in the refrigerator. Now, the Messiah comes and frees you from these restrictions. And so now you get warm drink. Right? It means that they missed the whole point. They sound great, because anytime you say freedom, you know, the French have a monopoly on it. They got it down. Right? Anything, you know, freedom, equality, and friendship. Yeah, fraternity means it's working together. What's it, is that called? Egalitarian?
Egalitarian.
Yeah, so it's all this kind of thing. Then it's nice, you know. Plus, when you say it in French, it sounds a lot better than any other language, you know. So, you know, when it comes to nice words and nice presentations, they do it the best, like that. You know, they've given us the what do you call it? You know, the French have given us the state over the citizens, you know, like that with Louis the 14th. You know, they've given us so many, you know, important things, you know. Huh? Yeah, the guillotine, they still use it in the presses, you know, cutting the papers. And, you know, it's like, these are important contributions, you know.
You can export.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. In the 18th century, the English philosopher Lord Bolingbroke could make out two completely different religions in the New Testament, that of Jesus and that of Paul. Kant, Lessing, Fichte, and Schelling also sharply distinguished the teachings of Jesus from those of the quote-unquote disciples. A great number of reputable modern theologians support and defend these observations. Now, also, you'd have to make a distinction here. When you say disciples, this means, what does that mean?
Paul.
So-called.
Okay. But it doesn't mean the apostles, the original. Right, yeah. Because theirs maybe will be similar to Jesus. Maybe they, if they're too neophyte, there'll be some misunderstandings and get too external. Mm-hmm. But they'll be trying to be in line with. Mm-hmm.
Like so that. They also have some teachings?
Yeah.
I mean, they come, but it's all, the problem is the New Testament is actually a creation of Paul. The original book, forget what it is.
That comes up.
Oh, it comes up. The original was done by him. And so the history of Jesus and the whole thing is all given by him, not by others.
Yeah. He compiled it.
He compiled it. Well, what they're saying is within this, you can see a difference when Jesus is teaching himself and...
Yeah. That's on the next page.
It's on the next page. Always on the cutting edge. Okay. Okay. Paul disregarded many teachings of Jesus. Instead, he placed Jesus upon a pedestal and turned him into the Christ figure that Jesus never intended to be. In other words, he deified Christ, right? So, and then at the expense of teachings, though. So this deification then is also considered a form of atheism because you're not, or impersonalism, because you're not actually regarding the person themselves and their teachings and what they do, but it's what you feel about them, what you want to gain from them, what you feel their value is, rather than what their own inherent value is.
So he wasn't that sincere.
On one level, yeah. I mean, he seemed to very much appreciate Jesus, but he appreciated how that could be used in the modern society.
Yeah.
So in other words, he took Jesus' teaching and applied it in the modern scenario. And so it works. See, the principle is why it's dynamic, even today it can be used, is because it was geared at modern. And modern means it's not according to the, you know, the tradition. Because modern means what's not the tradition. Right, so modern is always there, so these essential principles you can apply whatever it is. So your culture will change, your dress will change, your food, your politics, everything else will change, but you keep that essential faith. So you could say in one sense he's quite smart, but I don't even think he understood. Mm-hmm. Because if you saw Christianity today, you might be a little bit surprised. Yeah, yes. The theologian Alois Grimm has seized upon this far out name, Grimm, has seized upon the situation thus, or sized up the situation thus. Quote, however deeply these teachings may have become ingrained in Christian thought, they still have absolutely nothing to do with the real Jesus. If it is ever possible to discover any profound knowledge of truth in the heart of Christianity, it will only be rejected. It will only be by rejecting obvious counterfeits that have been considered so sacrosanct as to be untouchable, and by turning to the true, pure teachings of Jesus and the real essence of religion. So I think throughout history, people have tried to do that, but you know, always ends up with something new and then gets distracted. Something new. Theological controversies. As early as 65 years after the time of Jesus, Paul engaged in fierce debates with the original apostles. Paul held that Jesus' advent freed the people from following the old law, that faith alone was required. But that's his point. But the thing is he didn't live like that. Right? So it's another thing. He lived like that. Then you could say, yes, he did that. But he lived. Just as, that people would call him a rabbi, because, you know, you don't call someone a rabbi if he's not following Judaic thought, and life, Meanwhile, the apostles taught that Jesus came to enforce the old law, and that faith without work is dead. So their point was is that they're doing the work of the Old Testament, but without the faith. So that's what he came to instill, was the faith in the old law. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The faith works polemic has been going on for centuries, right? Generally anything here. It means if it's not Vedanta, it goes on for centuries. Yes.
Does that mean that Jews, they had a ritual, right? Yeah. But they had no mood.
Yes. The idea was is to bring out the mood and not just, it's just, okay, if you're in a high-grade family, then therefore you can be a good Jew, but the common person can't. And in other words, everybody can be Jewish. You know, and everybody can have that proper attitude and all that. And he was accommodating to these other groups, you know, your Samaritans or this or that, and Essenes, and that they, you know, that there's some element there of value, but still you would apply it to the old law. You wouldn't apply it to a new. He was not making up a new law like that. But Paul was saying no. But the problem is if it's new. Christ didn't give that, so then someone has to create it.
So he did it.
Yeah, so therefore, yeah, he did it. Yeah, so that, therefore, that's why this one historian calls it Paulinism.
So it's somewhat akin to the Smartacast Brahmana versus Sahajiya.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, like that. You know, you're never going to get a solution because you need some actual Vedanta. Yeah. At least the caste Brahman is following the rules, though the mood's wrong.
Yeah.
Well, the Sahajya, seemingly it's the mood's right, but still the mood's wrong and there's no ritual. There's no knowledge, there's no ritual, and the mood's bad. The other one, at least they have knowledge and ritual. Now they just have to add mood to make it alive.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I read it from Pavisapur Purana that there is like line of this, from Abrahamic line, there is now and then there comes like Noah and his grandsons who were like Vaishnavas. Basically, it's mentioned in Pavisya Purana that there is this aspect that even I suppose in Jewish, there is the people who actually know that it's come all the way from that culture and there is like worshipping Vishnu, but it's just very limited or something like that, because according to Pavisya Purana it's mentioned that there were now and then there. In Pavisya Purana there is mentioned the ages, like 900 years, this, and comes to all the way to lives, and then it's mentioned now and then there is like, he was the worshipper of Vishnu, like that. So there was Noah, Abraham knew about it and like that, so maybe in the Jewish there is this sect, so to say, that actually we worshipping Lakshmi-Narayana.
Yeah. No, the point is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying is that anything means everything has an actual basis, but the point is you have to know how to apply that. That's the problem. So the pure Vaishnavism, that actually explains it. The difficulty is these others don't necessarily know. They get distracted. So you can say, yes, freed from the old law, meaning that you're freed from the old law, that you think it's the law that's actually the point. No, it's expressing your love for God through the law, that's actually, does that make sense? That's the point, but they take it that you don't need the form. Yeah. And countless forms of quote-unquote Christianity have emerged as variations on this theme. So how much faith, how much works, how much old law, how much not, you know, these are basically through what's all the discussions are on. Throughout the 2,000-year history of Christianity, countless scholars and theologians have attempted to distill the essence of Christ's teachings. Beyond the sincere spiritual motives underlying such a research, it served many utilitarian and political ends as well. You know, so in other words, you have trying to find out the original teachings, so you have that pure spiritual quest, but at the same time, it also works practically or political. You know, like that. The claim that one has discerned the essence of Christianity could be used to rule out the faithless, the apostate, or the heretic. The believers in the true way of salvation saw themselves as insiders and others as outsiders. So again, you've created the insider-outsider. So before you had the Jews and the Gentiles, but now it's not the Jews become, you know, the outsiders. You know, and then anybody outside your particular group of Christianity is an outsider. So it's the same, they haven't actually, they missed the point, you know. The believers in the true way of self, okay. To fail to grasp what was believed to be the essence of faith might mean exile, harassment, or even death. So in other words, what was, whoever was in the seat, what they said was the actual essence, then if you didn't weren't in line with that, then it could mean one of these things. What did they say? Exile, harassment, or even death. Right?
All right.
Yes.
So then, actually, they went away from the tradition, and then, you know, then it became like really hectic. You know, everybody
yes.
could do anything.
Because once you open the door that anything goes, then that's that. That's the thing. That's why you have to be very, very careful about when you do something.
Mm.
You know, I think it's you know it's a standard thing. Is I think it's Niti Shastra's mentioning. Think 100 times before doing something, because once you do it, it's very hard to correct.
Yes.
You know, like that. Okay. Nonetheless, the truth about Jesus Christ has remained elusive over time. It is for this reason Christianity finds itself today an institutional fracture and doctrinal crisis. No shortage of time and energy has been invested by biblical scholars in their search for the historical Jesus. The outcome, however, is troubling. This is owing to the fact that the scriptural basis underlying Christianity is tenuous at best. Indeed, the main challenge faced by researchers is the lack of solid praman. Because the point is you can base everything on the New Testament, but then the problem is, you know, then does it allude to the Old Testament, you know, or the Old Law, or is it a new law in itself? So you're trying to prove something by its own self, you know, so it becomes very difficult. The biblical canon as praman. The primary scriptural authority for Christians is the biblical canon, the set of books its followers regard as divinely inspired. In the early stages of the development of their faith, Christians did something rare, if not unique, in the history of religion. They adopted the entire scriptural canon of what they now consider to be another faith, Judaism, and embraced the Hebrew scriptures, which they called the Old Testament. Thus, they inherited the insistent monotheism of Judaism as part of the essence of their truth. Yet when they claimed that Jesus was the divine, they had to do so in ways that would not challenge monotheism. Though the early church used the Old Testament, right, because then they have to say he's divine, but at the same time God is divine. But the problem, the thing is it becomes such a trip. Now if you think about it, the Jews don't sit around trying to figure out how divine or what divine Abraham or Moses or Isaac or Jacob is. Just they're you know, people who had faith in God and were inspired by God and had the blessings of God, and that's good enough. But somehow or another you have to get into, you know, microanalyze, you know, the divinity, and then they get a lot of problems. Yes.
Is that because of the problem of original sin that Jesus could come from?
Yeah, I guess you could say that therefore some immaculate conception is there, but still he did come from a lady, and ladies are on the Eve side, and so you leave the man out, but still Eve's there, and she's the one that came up with the bright idea about the apple. Right? You know, Adam just went along with it because he was infatuated by his wife, right? So it doesn't fully, if you really analyze it, doesn't fully free anyone, but you know they're trying to. Because before this, basically, there was basically no such thing that priests were celibate. Generally, all world religions, priests aren't celibate. They're just family people who devote their full time to the priestly duties. Because everybody else is doing something else, then they focus on that. You know, even for the Romans or the Greeks, they weren't like this. So this is a new concept that they're just... all the priests have to be celibate, you know. So then you have to have immaculate conception, and you also have to have that. You know, Jesus didn't have any ladies. I mean, the whole thing of the ladies and Jesus is completely played down. But the point was there were always with the apostles there were always ladies because they were all family people, you know. So it's not that ladies and family members wouldn't be there. And you also have the things that when all the other apostles were hiding under a rock, Jesus' ladies were the only ones that were there. They didn't care the Romans were there. They're the only ones standing under the cross. You know?
Maybe a stork bringing a baby or under a cabbage might work better.
Yeah, but then the only problem is the cabbage thing, that's a little bit more... I mean, that would work on, you know, East Bloc, right? You know? But now if you move more into the Western Europe, your potato might work better. And at the same time, the East Bloc appreciates potatoes. So I think that would be more of an all-around, you know? Because the cabbage patch is a bit stinky, you know? It is. Oh, I see, and then inside... Oh, okay, now I get it. Okay, that works. That works. But if you have an individual cabbage, it's not so sticky. It's only a field of cabbages. Just trying to think if you'd have some other vegetable with Dukacha, but I guess not. You know. I mean, in India, Lakshmi will come on a lotus, right? You know, the lotus that should be sitting in the middle. You know, that works better.
More pure.
Yeah, more pure. Plow the earth and then they're there or something, you know. But, okay. Though the early church used the Old Testament, the apostles did not leave a definite set of new scriptures. Instead, the New Testament evolved over time. Because for the apostles, they were just going to use the old law. So there was no question of needing something new. It was how you understood, how you approached it. That was what was important. Not that it was a new law. Yes.
Sorry, I don't understand how the Gospels, but Paul...
Means that those sorts of their teachings, maybe later, did they also write?
Yeah, Matthew, Luke, Mark, those are all.
But they're later persons. But what about the original? They were based on the original?
Yeah, that's
okay, but they wrote, but he started the whole thing. But
wasn't he debating with them about...
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but the point is they may have written things, but it's not necessarily that how they wrote it didn't go unedited into, you know, the compilation. Yeah. Insofar as they began to separate from Jews who did not accept Jesus as the Messiah, the earliest Christians collected their writings in this work. The earliest existing manuscript of the New Testament, written in Greek, is the Codex Sinaiticus, currently found in the British Museum. This work hails from the year 331 AD, just 6 years after the Council of Nicaea, the first of seven official councils convened by the Christian leaders to establish Christian orthodoxy. I think Nicaea is actually the third ecumenical council.
I think there were two there. I have my notes.
Because it says first that, means that no.
You have
no, true. Nicaea is the first, and something like Corinthia or something.
There were two in Nicaea.
Yeah.
The first and the seventh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Constantinople,
there were three.
Convened by Christian leaders to establish church orthodoxy. This is significant because the whole corpus of Christ's teachings was rearranged at that council. No one.
Who were the disciples? Paul was not there anymore.
Well, it's 330. This is just how Christianity has developed. In other words, it basically came down from what I understand is that because the Roman Empire, you had Rome and you had Constantinople as your main seats. I mean, you used to have, I think, Egypt, but then that kind of fell by the wayside.
Yeah.
You know, like that. Especially after Christians burned it down. Yeah, it did that. So you had those who are... and so then when the empire was considering taking on, or just, in other words, the presence of Christianity is very great. So then the king there, he got all the bishops together representing all the different branches, because for 300 years they kind of developed slightly different branches, and got them all there to discuss what was Christianity. And so then that's the things that they discussed, the divinity of Christ, that the Trinity, you know, the original sin. These are where everybody, you know, kills each other over. Kind of, but he was a pagan. The guy who organized it was a pagan. He didn't convert to Christianity until just before he died. or maybe even on his deathbed or something like that. But it wasn't. But he was a pagan at the time. But he's a king and he's practical, and it just wants, you know, it's okay if we're going to have Christianity. So then there should be, you know, Christianity. So which one's Christianity? Each one of you says you're the Christians. So then he got them all together, and I think it's 30 years they sat to work this out. That. So they weren't very consistent, you know. But saying here is that then they rearranged this Old Testament, so the Old Testament as we know it today, that would go back to the rearrangement there. It's been, you know, adjusted many times.
Rearrange the New Testament.
Yes, rearrange the New Testament.
Yeah.
Did I say old?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, sorry. The New Testament. The old one they leave alone because that's the Jewish, so they just they don't bother. You know, it's there, but you read it, but you don't really take teachings from them.
It's one of those concepts that they discussed about the women's soul.
That came much later.
Women's have soul means that they should have or that they didn't have.
No, they said that they do have.
They do have. I think that only came out very recently. That's like in the 18 or 1900s. Like that.
Still
you know, and then after that, then you can vote. Right? You know, because, I mean, you know, it's like, ladies don't have souls and they vote, then why not the horse? They can also vote. They don't have souls. So it's like, you know, hey. Yeah, it was just... That shows that, you know, Christianity, that women didn't have souls. You know, so that's, but the amazing thing is, you know, somehow everyone likes the non-souled entities. Yeah, I guess. I guess they forget that they have one also. Whatever. Okay. This is significant. Okay, this is significant because the whole corpus of Christ's teachings, or the New Testament, was rearranged at the council. In other words, Paul started documenting what he understood or what he appreciated, and it seems the others also documented, and that became kind of like their literature for those Jews that accepted Christ as the Messiah. But then, because he was preaching that it should extend beyond those who are outside Judaism. Because by this time, 300 AD, it was already Jews who were a completely separate religion, had nothing to do with it, and they were actually opposed, you know, by the Christians. Like that, you know, means if you created problem for them, then that was, you know, you got a gold star. You know, like that. Like I think it's one person, he was just a bit of a, you know, how you say, religious fanatic, and he arranged to burn the library in Alexandria. That was the seventh wonder, the biggest library in the world. He burnt that down, and he drove the Jews out of Alexandria, and then they made him a saint. He's one of the saints. You know, so hey, that's all it takes. Come on. But maybe that's the problem. The Palestinians aren't burning any libraries, you know? So that's why they're not getting sainthood. Huh? You know? Also, the Germans, they didn't get sainthood. They didn't burn any libraries. They collected books, you know? Yeah, look at these guys. They collected books. Huh? Yeah, that was the mistake. They should have burnt the books. They should have, yeah, they could have gone in also.
Actually,
they get your bar of soap in the book, you know, like that. Then you don't have to worry about a big pile, right? You wanted to...
Well, the Christian missionaries also burned a lot of the Mayan and Incan. And
Yeah, no, they just burned everything. It's just like that. Yeah. No one knows what Christianity may have been like before this first ecumenical meeting, because what evidence you have is the evidence, what's left after this meeting. So what's there before that? Because that's what you're saying, the first written New Testament is in Greek from 1331, and that's after Nicaea. So there isn't anything really documented before that. They have found, I think, something in...
Qumran. In Qumran they found the old scriptures.
Yeah.
In the beginning of the last century.
Down in Sinai somewhere or something.
No, it was near the Dead Sea.
Oh, the Dead Sea, yeah. Dead Sea, but they've never come to light.
No, they yeah. sealed. They yeah, seal yeah. those and yeah. just hide them really yes. deep.
Yeah, because one devotee I met, I somehow he was from Greece, and I flew with him from India to Greece. And he was telling me, because he knows ancient Greek, so the Christians approached him about coming and translating or taking care of and documenting the literatures that they found in one old church. So it was 2,000-year-old or something, you know, very old something, because it was a funny church. It was somehow or another out there in Sinai that... it was such that it was far enough away from everybody, and they didn't create anything political, that the Arabs, the Jews, and you know whatever else happened to be around left them alone. And so they had stuff going back written in the ancient Greek. And he was saying when he was going through, because he was supposed to get it all photographed and everything, and then document, put it in what's what. Then he said it was talking about reincarnation and a vegetarian, all kinds of stuff. He says you never hear about now, but so yeah, whatever. Further, no one is ever likely to find out, for the Christian tradition has not been preserved, rather has been subjugated to change and decay. Footnote 1. A full dogmatic articulation of the biblical canon has not been made until the Council of Trent in the 16th century. But that would be Trent, that would be Catholic? Would that be... That's after the seven.
Yeah, that's after.
That's after the seven. So this is the Ecumenical Council that only establishes Catholicism.
I believe so.
They won't establish East Orthodox or Oriental Orthodox. Consider the opinion of Rudolf Bultmann, German Lutheran theologian and one of the major figures of the 20th century biblical studies. Quote, "The character of Jesus, the clear picture of his personality and life, have faded beyond recognition. I do indeed think that we can now know almost nothing concerning the life and personality of Jesus, since the early Christian sources show no interest in either. Either are moreover fragmentary and often legendary. While New Testament scholarship remains divided on these issues, many experts opine that no more than 15% of the words of Jesus in the New Testament can actually be attributed to him." Says Lutheran theologian Ernst Caseman, "One is overwhelmed by how little on the accounts of Jesus in the New Testament can be called authentic. The historical figure of Jesus is only traceable in a few words of the Sermon of the Mount, the conflict with the Pharisees, a number of parables, and some further narratives." Right? So it's become reduced greatly down. So we see is that it means in the Vedic, then you have the parampara. You have to have that so you don't get this problem like that. And we even see with the Jews, if they're making a new Torah, you know, a new means the Old Testament, is that even though you have people that all they do is copy it, right? Because it's copied by hand. They're all handwritten. Mm-hmm. And so even though they have it memorized, they still look at the letter, write the letter. Look at the letter, write the letter. So it's written one letter at a time. That way then you don't get any difference between one Torah and the next. Mm-hmm. Like that. So... But here it didn't seem to be that was too much of a worry. So it's more of interpretation, at least by Paul and the latter, I was going to say the latter day saints, but that's very much later. You know? Something latter day saints, not the really latter day saints. "Indeed, the New Testament was not assembled by eyewitnesses. Rather, the Gospels reflect the ideas Christian communities outside Israel come to believe about Jesus. Hence, what is generally taken as, quote-unquote, Gospel, the manger in Bethlehem, the death at Golgotha. So, Gopha means a cave.
Gopha.
Oh, really?
In the Sanskrit.
Yeah, so it's close. And gol means round? The round cave?
Actually, it's from Hebrew, and it's... Как это череп гол?
The skull.
Yeah, the gold color.
Because the place looked like a skull.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like it's a hill.
It's a hill that looks like a skull. The resurrection, the ascension to heaven, rather than represent the Jesus of history, are actually proclamations of the Jesus of faith. It is quite certain that neither Jesus nor his disciples had any conception of him being the awaited Messiah. Here's another thing. The Christ, God incarnate, the second person of the Trinity, or even of salvation coming to mankind through his sacrifice at Calvary. Even the Last Supper clearly emerges from Paul's letters. While disciples like Peter and John, who physically associated with Jesus, make no mention of the Last Supper, their authority is subordinated to Paul's. Right? Such pastimes, with all their concomitant theological conceptions, were subsequently reiterated by the Gospel of authors from Mark on. It has been the Christian take on Jesus since. Thus, from day one, Christianity has lacked a precise articulation. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur accords this weakness to the lack of Guru Parampara system in place to follow the founder Acharya. So this is quoting from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We accept both the universal spiritual master and the initiating spiritual master. By accepting only the Jagat Guru, we may face many anarthas. If at present we want to follow Christ's orders by accepting him as Jagat Guru, and we think that we do not require an initiating spiritual master, we will certainly face the doubt about how well we can follow Christ's orders. Because the initiation means the commitment to, right? Follow. The Supreme Lord, or Universal Jagat Guru, delivers his instructions about the absolute truth only through the disciplic succession. As I sit on the bank of the Ganges in Navadvipa, far from the Himalayas, where the Ganges originates, and I'm able to touch her water here, the initiating spiritual master similarly brings the Ganges of pure devotional service, which emanates from the Lord's lotus feet, and places it in my hand and on my head. The flow of the Ganges does not come to me, then, because I am an ordinary, powerless, poor person, I would not have been able to climb the Himalayas to touch your water. Or if the flow of the Ganges from the Himalayas was interrupted on the way, I would have had to face the danger of accepting a polluted flow instead of the pure Ganga. If the instructions Jesus Christ gave 2,000 years ago do not come to us through disciplic succession, or if we have to sort them out from books, then perhaps we may create a blunder and accept a perversion of the truth taught in the name of Christianity. We may even come to accept something opposite from what he taught, thinking it is actual philosophy. The initiating spiritual master is also Jagat Guru because he is a manifestation of the original Jagat Guru. Out of his causeless mercy, he delivers the message of the original Jagat Guru through the disciplic succession. He does not cheat nor flatter the disciple, nor does he yearn for any material gain from me. He is simply a messenger of the absolute truth. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Amritavani. Right? So in other words, all these are details just so that we understand what we're dealing with. But the main point is there's no parampara. So that's the weakness. So how do you actually know what are teachings or what are not? Are you here? Kara's here? Okay. So I'm going to have to go. We have this thing called the FRO.
Oh,
okay.
Exit visa.
Yeah. No, we'll have the 4 o'clock class should be there. And then tomorrow we'll have class. So we won't have class from Wednesday. Maybe Thursday. Until
April 17th.
April 17th. 17th is flying back to Delhi. So I'm not sure when that arrives. You ever been on that flight? Oh yeah. When is it? The Finland flight
to Delhi.
To Delhi.
It's,
what time does it arrive in Delhi?
3 o'clock.
In the afternoon?
No, morning time, and then there will be the flight, which is six earliest or something like that. So I think 17 will be no, because it will be here around 3 o'clock.
Yeah, so then that's...
That's Wednesday.
April. That's May. No, it's... Oh, well, yeah, no, that's right. It's in April.
17 is Wednesday. So 18th is Thursday.
So then we'll see if we can do on Thursday. If not, then Friday. I like that. We'll either start on the 18th or 19th. What to do? Yeah, this year somehow or another there's been too many. They're getting weak, sick for 2 weeks didn't help.
Yeah. It'll be hard to finish because of the finish.
Yes. Summer. Yeah, we may have to go on a little bit, do one class in the evening or something. We'll have to see.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Prabhupada ki, Jai Samavita Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Jainatai Gaurav Nimam.
Hari Hari Bol.